Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, I've got a real special guest today with me because you might have heard we've got a new jingle. We've got a new little intro, and it is done by this fella here. His name is Paul Rhodes. He's a full-time voiceover artist, and we're going to be talking about his journey, some of the lessons that he's learned along the way, and just have a pretty damn good half hour. So, Paul, thank you very much for joining us today. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Gary. Thanks very much for having me on. Pleasure to be here. And thanks for letting me take charge of your new jingle. It was a great pleasure.
I love it. As soon as, you know, we started to talk about podcast intros and some services that you offer, it had to be done. So, no, that's great. So, for the people who don't know who Paul Rhodes is, who are you? What have you been up to in the last couple of months before we go into your journey?
Mm-hmm. Who is Paul Rhodes? Good question. Like many voiceover artists, quite a lot of your people have probably heard me, but never heard of me, because we maintain a certain level of anonymity. Yes, I do a radio show, and that goes out around the world, but the majority of my work, I don't take credit for. You don't have rolling credits at the end of radio commercials or telephone systems. So in terms of keeping busy and what I've been doing, I offer such a wide array of services. So I help a lot of people with their telephone systems. And in a lot of cases over the course of the last few months, that's meant changing their message to be much more COVID aware, letting their customers know their new opening times, for example, or new systems they've got in place, announcements in shopping centres to simply tell people where they can wash their hands or what the new rules are. Quite a lot of my peers, my colleagues in voiceover, all doing similar things. It's all shifted toward COVID. And even in the advertising arena, the adverts have changed now from a less of a, hey, here's what we can do, to a, hey, we're all in this together kind of thing. So there's a real shift there. And that's meant that with so many people changing their messaging, they're also changing their imaging, which can mean it's a really great time for them to think about getting a new voice on board. Now, I don't want people thinking, oh, this bloke's capitalizing on COVID. No, I'm not at all. But, you know, there have been some changes, and that certainly has been, you know, what's been keeping me busy.
Nice. And I can imagine that that's been pretty cool for you to see a kind of a change and kind of give you different potential works that you might not have had before.
Yeah, very much so. It's your dog yapping in the background.
It is. But
live,
do you know what?
Podcasting.
Let's just keep it. Let's keep on going.
Absolutely. He wants to be part of the show. Why not? It's, you know, there's always been a wide array of different things to do, but there are people that have got more to say. I do a lot of work in the e-learning arena, and there's a lot more of that now because, of course, people need to train their staff remotely. So the e-learning clients that I've had in the past, they are getting busier. More people are saying, oh, look, we need a new training course. We need this, that, and the other. And okay, plenty of their staff are happy sitting in front of a Zoom camera and giving this teaching. But they've also got jobs to do. So much easier if they get a third party to create an online course for their staff. And it can be anything from the simple new health and safety rules to how to use their software, and they offload that or outsource, for want of a better way of putting it, that training to a third party. And people don't want to read PDFs or scroll up and down Word files. They want someone to teach it to them, and they don't want the voice of a lecturer, and they don't want to be spoken down to. They want the person that can say, hi, welcome to company XYZ, we've got a few things to teach you, this and that, and to get that sense that here is a teacher, here is a tutor. It's a one-to-one learning experience. And there'll be quizzes and questions along the way, but this person is there to educate, not to patronize. And that important distinction is, I think you're seeing such a massive change in the world of e-learning in that regard. And that's exciting because, let's face it, an awful lot of people, just in the last few weeks alone, had been going into the office. I've been told once again, yeah, would it be all right if you didn't do that? And there's that desperate need for connection. You know, that, that office banter is not there and that tuition is not there. But if they think, oh, here's a friendly voice, I quite like that. And it's relaxed and it's easy and it's fun. And they know they can get in touch with their immediate line manager and say, oh, I didn't understand that and that language. Oh, yeah, okay, now I understand it. E-learning is growing, and more, you know, more power to their elbow if it continues to do so. It's great.
I love it. Yeah, and the thing is, anything to do with self-development and improving your skills, I think is massively important, just not at any time, but at times of kind of stress and at times where you do need to bring people together. I think that's so, so important. In terms of before, you know, everyone's gone through loads of change over the last 6 months, and we're recording this at the end of September. This is going at the end of October. Who knows what's going to happen? And do you know what? Frankly, I'm not in control of that, so we're not going to be talking about it. However, you know, before then, what were you up to? You know, how long have you been doing voiceovers? And yeah, well, how long have you been doing voiceovers, buddy?
Okay. Sure. I've been behind a microphone in one guise or another for the best part of 30 years now. Started in hospital radio at the end, it was March of 89, right about Comet Relief time, I remember it well. And I'd always mucked around with silly voices, always done that. But it was only really when, talking sort of in the late 90s, I remember it vividly, actually. I remember what actually got me into this, was that someone had sent me a spam email of a little animation of a cartoon character who I did not know. It was like a flash animation. And I know what's the language rating on this podcast, because I have to use a dirty word to say the name.
Well, I tell you what, let's make it not suitable for kids, so go for it.
Okay. Well, the song was called Kyle's Mum's a Bitch in D minor.
I love the fact you said in D minor. I didn't know that. I know the song. I can remember the song when I was growing up, but I didn't know it was in D minor. You learn something every day.
But I see, I didn't know the character. It was sent completely out of context. So, you know, I watched the video and and moved on with my day. Months later, Channel 4 announced that a new show was coming to their late night lineup. I thought, ooh, late night cartoon, that's new. And it was, because the riskiest thing we'd had on up to that point was The Simpsons, which started as a kid-friendly show and has pushed it a lot more since. But this was something completely different. But I remember it very, very well. The show started. I recognised the character straight away. My friends were watching it with me. And within a few minutes, they went, "It's having his biggest nightmares, you guys." And the hell was that, Paul? It had an inner crib. And wow, man, that's really good. And they asked me this $64,000 question, which rings true to this day. Well, Paul, who else do you do? And there were loads, mostly characters out of The Simpsons that I enjoyed doing. If you ask me to, I will, but I won't just go into them straight away. You didn't get an impressionist on just to suit silly voices for half an hour. But for the longest time, throughout all the 90s, you know, I built websites to try and get myself out there. And I really wanted to get into the world of animation. And I didn't. It just didn't happen for me at all. And it wasn't until probably into the 2000s now, I chose to actually get some coaching. As luck would have it, one of the link announcers from Channel 4 actually ran and still runs to this day the VO Masterclass. His name is Gary Terza. If you look up VO Masterclass, I still give him credit to this day. I owe him my career, essentially. But he asked me a question after he started putting demos together for me. He said, "Have you thought about doing corporates?" And I hadn't. It just hadn't interested me. I'd seen the work coming up on the various casting websites, but I thought, yeah, I want to do that. Just talking about it, it's boring. I wanted to do silly voices. But he said, no, you've got a voice that would lend itself to that. You should try and do that. And he was right. As soon as I started doing it, the work actually started to come in. It transpired that the voice you're hearing right now is the one I get hired to do a lot more work from, which is, it's always nice to when you think, I am enough. One of my other coaches said, you are enough. We'll come on to her. But I went for that, decided that clearly the gap in my career was one of coaching. You know, you talk about what are the lessons that you can take away from this coaching. Whatever you're bringing, whatever natural talent and that sounds incredibly arrogant to say like that, but you understand what I mean. Whatever natural talent you're bringing, especially if you want to work in the creative arena, find coaches, find people, and not necessarily people who have been there, done that, not doing anymore, because then you start thinking, well, those who can do, those who can't teach. Find the coaches, those people who have established themselves. From maybe, in my perspective, my best coach was a lady by the name of Nancy Wolfson out in LA. She had been a casting director. She'd been an agent. She knew what clients were looking for, and she teaches it to people, and she teaches it really, really well. I love her to death. She's just been such an incredible influence on my life, and we are still very much in touch to this day. You know, when it came to me finally being ready to record my demo, I flew out to LA just because I could. She didn't ask me to. She's like, you don't need to spend 16 hours on a plane. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Yes, I do. Went out and I started a trend of other voiceover artists literally doing 3-day jaunts back and forth to LA just to record demos. People didn't do it before me. And it's like, everyone's doing it now. I would suggest I'm a trendsetter, but it's quite nice that they did that. But this was starting to develop now into something I was a lot more serious about. I was doing more commercial work. I'd worked with Nancy to get commercial work, and I had a demo that cost a lot to put together. And for anyone who's listening to this thinking, I'm thinking of getting into the VO industry. I've just recorded a few bits. That's great. Get a proper coach, get a proper demo producer. Yes, it will cost money. And I mean proper money, but you will make that back. Without it, you absolutely won't, because there's an awful lot of people having a try at this now. A lot of people working from home thinking, hey, I could just buy a microphone, download some free software, and away I go. Yeah, in the same way that you could also buy a scalpel and call yourself a brain surgeon. It doesn't work that way. You know, you need the intuition. But to answer your question the very long way around, I was part-time voicing whilst having a full-time job for the best part of 20 years. I gave up the full-time job in 2014 to start my own promotional merchandise company whilst wanting to still keep doing the voiceovers. But I gave myself 4 days a week in promotional merchandise, because that was a air quote proper job, and 1 day a week in voiceover. And over time, one became two, became three, became four. And it was in July of 2016 that I took a look at my life and thought, been a while since I sold a mug. I guess I'm a full-time voiceover. It just kind of didn't happen overnight,
just naturally, but it happened organically. Naturally progressed. Yeah.
You just don't notice it happening. And so now what are we going? What year is this? Who's the president? So it's really him? It's been 4 years now that I've been doing this full time.
Yeah. So, I love it. And so many good bits to kind of pick out. The one bit I love about it is you talk about, in essence, the community that you've got around you, be that the coaches that kind of helped you along your journey, be that your kind of industry peers who you trendsetted a kind of a need to go out to go and do it. But also for all the people who are thinking about investing in their company, in their time, in their passions, you made a really good point that stuck with me anyway, which is actually you do need to invest time and money into it, because there's loads of people who can do it or think they can do it. But there's going to be a big difference between people who've got the right branding, people who've got the right kind of marketing messages, the right kind of skills, I suppose, as well, to be able to do it. And actually, when you invest your time into it, it doesn't happen overnight. As you said, it was organic progression. But following to that point, I love the fact that you knew that's what you wanted to do, and then you transitioned to it slowly but surely. You know, 4 days a week, you know, doing the proper job in air quotes, and then 1 day a week, and then it kind of just took over. That's really cool for the people who are following their passions, but at that 4 day a week, that could be really important for them to learn. And here, and it's precise time.
Very much so. And I think it's important that people understand that, okay, yeah, I'm an actor, you know, I'm a performer, but as a voiceover, it is a business. And it has to be run as a business. And, you know, think if you were about to open a shop, you wouldn't just buy an empty shop and then not decorate it and do everything on the cheap and on the nasty and just shove all your stuff in the window and go, hey, come and buy stuff. It won't work. You have to invest in your business, and especially at the point of starting up. Now, there's no reason, you don't have to actually throw all the money at it from day one. I'm not using the same microphone today as I used when I started. I saved up through voiceover jobs. You know, I don't have the same website as when I started. I invested over time. But if you're not prepared to actually make that initial investment, or at least every time you have that little bit of success, put some of that money away, put it back into the business. Yeah, it's, you can get a voiceover job that will pay, and I won't talk specific numbers here, that's a little bit crass, but could pay a decent sum of money for something that doesn't take very, very much time. And the easiest thing to go is go, woohoo, I've just earned more money in an hour than I normally earn in a day. I'm going to go and buy a boat. Don't go and buy a boat unless you live near a body of water and boating is your passion. I don't. It's not. I didn't. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to put some of that money aside, because the main thing to actually bear in mind, aside from the fact you're growing the business, is you might go, yeah, I've just earned more money in a day. But what if that's the only day you worked for the next month? Then you didn't earn more money in a day than you earned in a month. You earned the same amount of money in a month as you earn in a month. You've got to be careful with it. You've got to put that money away. And yeah, invest, because your business will grow. If you attack it correctly, your business will grow. But if you actually think you hit the top of the mountain from day one, well, guess what? The only direction from there is down. You've got to keep climbing.
Yeah, no, I love it. And at the start of kind of this year, loads of people's plans got changed because of the C word. How did your plans change? Did it kind of, did it change at all?
A little bit. And people go, oh, what a git. No, a little bit. Okay. I'm in my home studio right now. I work from home a lot. And obviously what that meant was we could keep going. It's fine. But it has to be said that a lot of my clients who were going into offices and going into studios, the visual side of things, weren't able to work on as many collaborative products. Their own customers weren't able to invest. I'll give you one example. I mentioned that I do a lot of work on telephone systems, for example. This also includes doing a hold music for people, producing the, you know, not just the music, but also the messages. You know, did you know we also do this? I had a company literally a day before lockdown signed a deal to actually get that stuff produced and had to phone me and say, we don't even know if we're going to be around in 3 months' time. We can't do this right now. So was I affected? Yes. I also do a lot of what's known as voice of God work. That's when you go to live announcements, particularly award ceremonies. And that's anything from, ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. Our ceremony is about to begin, to reading up the announcements of why the judges voted for the winner and so and so. Not doing that. Not a lot, you know, a major award ceremony, the literally the EN, that's the Exhibition News Awards. That's an 1,000 people gala dinner at Battersea Evolution, which I did last year for the first time, and they want me back. Thanks, Smash Media. Love you. That was going to be on in February. And we're like, I don't know. So they postponed it. Postponed it and postponed it again. And up until last week, it was set for October the 9th, because Boris had said from October the 1st, events can happen. And we're all sitting there thinking, I don't know, man. Why haven't they announced it? And literally no emails coming through saying we're cancelling, we're postponing, nothing. And all of the people working in us, me to the main host, the lighting, the sound guys, we're all talking to each other going, should we call them? I mean, what? And you don't want to be the person that picked up the phone and go, I hate to ask. Because whilst you hate to ask, they're losing £250,000 right there. And you're one guy saying, do I still have a job? You feel like a git. You don't want to do that. So that worker's got, and they finally did have to announce that it's been postponed until next year. And again, you still don't know. So there was that work that's lost. But the rest of the work, it's still here. And there's been a shift, an interesting shift, in fact, in that certainly from the commercial perspective, it's kind of the norm when you're doing a TV commercial or a national radio commercial to go into a studio, usually in, from my perspective, be in London. That's where I'm closest to. There's obviously a hub of production in Manchester as well. It was always a hub to go to, minus the West End of London. Of course, you can't do that now. What that has meant is that a lot more people are turning to voiceover artists with their own professional home setups. And there are plenty of home voiceovers who don't have that. There are also plenty of actors who do voiceover that don't have their own home studio. They're used to going to studios. There's a wonderful picture of Peter Davidson, who doesn't have his own home studio. He's built one out of the cupboard under his stairs, and he's put the TARDIS image on the door, which is so freaking cool. I love it.
Brilliant.
This is the thing. You've got plenty of actors who don't have home studios, so they've had to invest because they can't go anywhere. Mm. But the shift I was talking about is you've got these other people that are listening to these voice actors producing professional quality audio from home. And they're starting to ask that really awkward question. Why are we paying to go into these studios in central London? And these studios are panicking. They're nervous, and rightly so, because they're starting to think maybe we're not as necessary as we thought we were. Now, in many cases, they still are, because what they do serve, certainly from the advertising side of things, is when the client is there, not the agent, not the advertising agency, but the client. The client loves going to the studio, seeing the talent behind the screen, seeing the engineers pushing the buttons, seeing their baby come alive. It's ego driven. Yeah, I'm just in the studio with the guys. They love that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to continue. But not all of them. There's bound to be a drop off. There has to be. It's inevitable. There's bound to be a drop off. But it's not affected me. I'm able to do things. In fact, the first thing that me and many of my colleagues did, and my agent had as well, is going online or changing all the branding on our websites with the famous two words, home studio. Letting people know, I've got a studio. If you want something recorded, I'm ready to go. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to worry about COVID protocols or anything like that. Home studio, here we go. My own agent made a point of going through all of their books and changing their entire website to put this big stamp graphic on anyone that had one, because not all of us did. They all do now. But it made a massive difference to be able to say to people, yep, don't worry, got you covered. It's broadcast quality, home studio, let's go. Big difference.
Massive difference, massive difference. And that leads on to what you're up to at the moment. So we are now coming into the other C word that some people love and some people hate. That is Christmas, folks. Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. And I could not be happier, because you and I know about it. So it's why you got me on, isn't it? I know. But it's one of my other favourite characters to do, Gary. And you know what I think of it? I'll actually put the hat on. I won't bother with the beard or the fat suit. I'm delighted I had to have to wear a fat suit to play him. But jolly old St. Nicholas here, delighted to be on the Grow Marketing Podcast. Ho, ho, ho! Yeah, I love the guy. I love playing Santa. I love being Santa. And it's a method actor job for me. I truly embody the role. Now, that gets me work doing announcements in shopping centres. You'll come and see me in my grotto. And we'll talk about that in a moment as well. To charity appeals, to commercials, of course, on TV and radio. They all love the voice of Santa. And within a network that you and I enjoy together, which is how we met and put this podcast together, they call me Santa now. And it's because of a specific offering. Is this the part where I do my massive plug?
Shameless proper sales pitch.
Shameless self-promotion. I shall do it, Gary. Thanks for asking. I started a little thing a few years ago where it was just for friends and family, where I would call children up around Christmas time and be the voice of Santa. Not the voice of Santa. I was Santa. But it wasn't the traditional call that you would expect with, oh, have you been a good boy / girl? And what do you want for Christmas? Because I already knew all of that because the parents had already told me. And I remember the first time I did it, and I finished my call and I came back downstairs from the studio. My wife was there. I said, do you know what? I could do this every day for the rest of my life. I loved it. There was something very, very magical about that call. So I did it the following year. And after that, people said, you really should start thinking about charging people money for this, Paul. It's, come on, it's, it's really good. So that's what I've been doing, and for the last few years, and I have had to compete with the apps and the PNP with the guy hiding behind a beard so you can't see his lips moving, and they aren't even moving at all, and all the pre-recorded messages. And that's fine. My own daughter was speaking to a Santa app deep into June of last year. It was ridiculous. You know, it's like, you've literally listened to every pre-recorded message this thing has. Who on earth do you think you're talking to? She's seven. It was fine. But something very, very interesting happened. I decided, this was 2 years ago now, I took it to the next level, and I got in touch with the companies that do the grottos in the shopping centres, and I wanted to be an actual Santa. I wanted that face-to-face experience to see the looks on their face. I thought, this would be great. It was horrible. Absolutely horrible. Not from their perspective, but from mine, because it's a conveyor belt. They're in, get a minute. It's the same questions. Hello, what's your name? Where'd you go to school? What do you like? Have you been a good boy or girl? What do you want for Christmas? Would you like a photo? Now, please get your parents to go buy a snow globe that they absolutely do not want. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But what really killed it for me, putting the commercialism aside, a child comes in, here comes Santa, and says, what do you want for Christmas? Don't you know? Aren't you Santa? There's no magic. Horrible. No magic. So when I do my phone calls, I know everything. I've interviewed the parents for a good 20 minutes to half an hour, which has now, by the way, been turned into a form because I want more people to be able to do it and speed up the process there. But I still interview them and I get to understand exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And to use the other C word, COVID has actually meant that this particular offering seems so much more timely, because let's face it, there are no grottos this year. Up until just before doing this podcast, I was thinking, well, maybe some people will still think about doing it and maybe not. But even if they were, who would feel comfortable queuing up? Who would feel comfortable going into a grotto thinking, well, has this been disinfected between every child? I doubt it. Oh, and by the way, don't go near Santa. 2 meters, please. What? Well, you know, to be fair, if you're over 70 and got a shield, he's 958. What do you reckon? You can't do any of that. It's horrible. It's going to be a horrible experience for the children. And then it's got to the point where it's got to be, well, you know what, guys, I'm sorry. You can't go and see Santa this year. Well, that's tragic. Mm. I want to make it clear that my prices have remained static ever since I started doing this. I have not chosen to capitalize on COVID in any way. This is a service I've always offered. I've been doing it for years. The fact that it is now seems so much more of a really good idea is a coincidence. And I do get asked, well, will you be doing it over Zoom? Will you be doing it visually? And the answer is no. And I don't apologize for that, but I should explain why. For a start, Zoom is a little bit grainy and a little bit bitty, and I'd have to, and also, you know, I don't have a backdrop and things like that. I'm in a very small space. Virtual backdrops look a little bit weird. When you move with the beard, it would kind of disappear in the background and be a bit strange. But also, children have got wonderful imaginations. They already know what Santa looks like. So when they hear the voice and they hear him talking to them, because he knows them so well, because he's been watching what they've been up to all year, every other blank will get filled in and the magic will absolutely be there. So, you know, it's going to be great. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm excited. I also offer a particular one that I really love doing. I work on Christmas Day. Not a lot of people do. I will be working on Christmas Day. And those calls are special because I invite your listeners to think about something here. When did you ever thank Santa in person?
Good question. And the answer is never.
Never. So I'm going to give your children the most magical gift of all. I'm going to give them the gift of being able to express gratitude. Christmas morning, Santa already knows what you got. Even if it wasn't what you asked for, I know what you got. I delivered it. I'm a little bit tired. I've been delivering presents all night. But you can still talk to Santa on Christmas morning and say thank you. Those are my favourite phone calls because they're brilliant. So unlike any other Santa interaction. You've never had that. You've never been able to talk to Santa and say thank you. It doesn't work that way. And it's real. And as I said before, I'm a method actor. I truly choose to embody the characters I play. As a voiceover, certainly when you're doing characters, you don't, you know, I'm doing the voice of this person who sounds like this. No, you are that person. You have to be into that. And I'm sounding all Dustin Hoffman, but you have to really get into it. I can't think of a better way to feel than being Santa Claus. I love being that guy. It makes me a believer. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe that there's a bloke in the North Pole with elves and things like that goes around the world. But the spirit, the ideology that he represents, I don't just get to believe it. I get to be it for quite a few weeks in December. It is, I've got to tell you, Gary, it is the best feeling in the world.
And the thing is, people who are watching, people who are listening, they can tell by your mannerisms. They can tell by your body language and the way you're speaking with so much passion. And it's brilliant. And I just want to echo a load of points that you just mentioned. Marketing departments in different shopping centres, they ain't got any budgets whatsoever. And if they have, it's minuscule. Minuscule. So therefore, marketing advertising this year for Christmas, that's a completely different beast. And who knows what's going to be happening. But social distancing in December, grottos probably aren't going to happen. Yeah. They're not going to happen. They've got a cost involved in to do that. It's not going to work. But I couldn't think of anything better than, first of all, I can't imagine Santa being on Zoom. Can't imagine whatsoever. When you said about imagination for kids, completely agree. Their imagination will go wild with everything that's going on, everything that you're saying, especially because, as you said, Santa knows them. Santa what they've got or what they're going to get. They know how they've been. Mm. It's not just some faceless person who doesn't know. I think that's brilliant. I don't think I could think of a better way of spending my days rather than being someone like you who's passionate about what they're doing every single day. Now, we've been talking for, 30 minutes at the moment. So I'm going to do some real quick fire questions for you.
Please.
Which you haven't been prepared with. And do you know what? We'll see how it goes. Let's rip it.
As long as you can ask me for the website for the Santa Claus, because we didn't do that bit.
No, of course not. Of course not. And that'll be right at the end, buddy. Right at the end. So, okay. So nice and straightforward. What is your favourite character that you played? Probably dead simple.
Santa Claus. Yeah.
Okay. What's a character you want to play that you haven't played yet?
I mean, I would love a guest role in The Simpsons at some point. Just anything. I don't care. Another cartoon favourite is Phineas and Ferb on Disney. I happen to be friendly with the creator who's constantly offering an apartment. It never happens. So one day he'll make good on that. So you never know. Yeah, one of them.
Nice. When face-to-face events happen again, what event do you want to MC or be part of?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I love award ceremonies. Just being the voice of God in the background is nice. I'm comfortable being up on stage and doing something like that. I mean, I'll frontline Glastonbury if they offer me the opportunity. I don't care. There's a buzz, you feed off of that audience. You feel that buzz. You feel that energy vibration. And just to be at the front of it and just thinking, yeah, I'll have some of that. Anywhere and everywhere. Anything with a big crowd, yes, please.
Brilliant. And final quick fire question before we get into the last bit of the interview. What is the one voice that people might recognise you from on TV or in place that you're legally obliged that you can say?
Oh, gosh. Now, that is a tricky one. Well, if you've got people with parents who watch any of the children's shows on Netflix, go Corrie Carson. I am Papa Carson in that. If they watch Chip and Potato, I'm Mr. Diggity in that. And if they watch Hello Ninja, I've played a few different roles in that, but particularly the wizard who keeps coming up as a really nasty piece of work. I'm the wizard in Hello Ninja. As long as they set their audio settings to UK English, I should stress. It's dubbed, you said, it's repurposed for the UK marketplace. So it's the UK versions.
Brilliant. Now, so we're coming to the end of the interview now. So thank you very much for your time. There's two things that I always ask all my guests right at the end. The first one is, what is your one thing, your one big takeaway that you want everyone to kind of leave this show with?
Never stop learning. Never, ever stop learning. If you think you know it all, you are so far from the finish line, it's unbelievable. Never stop learning.
Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant. And finally, if people wanted to book you a Santa, or if someone wanted a voiceover for their podcast, or they wanted to kind of get you to be an MC or the voice of God in any events, how can they? How can they get in touch with you, and how can they connect with you after this interview?
Okay, well, website-wise, for voiceover work, it's Paul J, just the letter J, Paul J Rose, rose.co.uk. For booking a Santa call, it is Santa Calls, that's Santa, C-A-L-L-Z, santacalls.com. And in terms of finding me otherwise, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, good God, where am I not? I try them all. Just look, if you just look for Paul Rose voiceover, I'm going to show up. I do spend a lot of time trying to get my SEO just right. I've got a brand new website launched yesterday, in fact. Yesterday at the time of recording. 2 weeks ago by the time it goes out. So get out of the timing work. So, yeah, exciting about that. But, yeah, just search for Paul Rose voiceover. But right now, the big push for me, massive push, is Santa Calls, C-A-L-L-Z.com. The fact of the matter is I'm doing – each call – has an average time of about 10 minutes. So I'm doing in 15-minute intervals on the 12, 3, 6, and 9 of every hour for, I would say, at least 10 hours a day. But it's going to get booked up. I really would hate it if someone logged onto the website on the 10th of December and there was nothing available. Book now to avoid disappointment. It's a cliche, but it's absolutely true. And please tell whoever you know, hey, I'm doing this. This sounds nice. Do you want to get one as well? Let them do it too.
Love it. Love it. So we'll put all the links to the show notes. We'll put all links into the show notes. So Paul, to end it there, thank you so much for your time today. Please, 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 viewers and listeners, check Paul out. Remember, if you've got a podcast, it's a no-brainer to get a professional person to do the intro and the outro. So get contact Paul. And do you know what? Hopefully it's not too late, Paul. I know Santa Claus is going to be properly packed, and you are gonna have the best time doing it this year. I can just tell. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening and watching. I've been Gary, he's been Paul, and this has been The Grow Show. Take care, my friends. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.